Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ. It's Tweety. LJ will be with us shortly. Guess we normally we would get right on into it, but I have to say a bittersweet congratulations to the University of Alabama. Crimson Tide won the national championship last night. I wasn't a big fan of it. I was calling for Clemson to win. I was hoping Deshaun Watson pulled one out of his back, but guess he couldn't. Nick Saban wins again. He gets his fifth championship. He's one behind the Alabama legend Bear Bryant for most in Alabama history. Thinking, if I'm not mistaken, most in college football history. We got LJ on the line. What's going on, LJ?
Driving around the parking lot.
So you just finna get your workout on, huh? I guess we just lost LJ again. It's technical difficulties. It's my fault. But anyway, back to what I was saying. Alabama Crimson Tide winning the national championship. I know LJ really didn't want to talk about it. But, hey, it is what it is. Season is over with. Looking forward to next year. And we got you back, LJ?
Yeah, I think I'm back. I pushed the wrong button.
We back. Yeah, because we're doing a little special. We usually don't give it to them until Sundays. So we're doing a special show this week. A lot of sports news going on. Coaching carousel in the NFL. Got Alabama winning the national championship last night. Speaking of last night, did you get to catch any of the game?
I caught the first half. You know, I'm an old man. So I go to sleep early. So I caught most of the first half when I cut it off. I don't think the game clearly wasn't close to being decided. But you know the onside kick that Alabama got that reminded me of like that dude who when you're shooting dice. That dude who keep picking up them tricky points. You know, the dude who keep on hitting four, he like, man, hell nah, you ain't going, you know what I'm saying? Like, you double down on your bet.
Yeah.
He like, ain't no way he going to hit four. And then he done hit four three times in a row. He like, hell nah, man. He tripping. This trip, I'm going to go home. That's what that reminded me of.
Yeah.
He got his little onside kick or whatever. But, you know, a great call. Well, I mean, it's a good call if it works. I know, you know, if you – listen to a lot of the talking heads, read some of the articles, whether it's in the newspaper or on the internet, they're making Nick Saban seem like he's a genius. And, you know, it's like the perfect, it's a great call if it works. And then that's what any call in sports. It's a great call.
Right.
It's a great call if it works.
Yeah,
if it doesn't
work.
Yeah, only if it works. You know, otherwise people are saying, well, that's a stupid decision. If they lost, you know, stupid decision.
Yeah.
They should have kicked it deep, play defense.
Yeah, if they don't get that onside kick back, everybody questioning Nick Saban. But Nick Saban knew that he felt the force of his team going down. Like, Clemson was taking the momentum away from his team. He had to do something.
But I think the biggest thing that came, I hadn't really had a chance to sit down and watch Clemson play at all this season. Probably the thing that clicked in my mind after the first quarter, Deshaun Watson. Watson is the truth. I'm talking about throwing the ball, like.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I know Clemson doesn't have a traditional pro style offense, but just as far as being able to make NFL caliber throws, having a strong arm, being able to place the ball. I mean, now granted, you know, his receivers were a little bit more open than the average receiver is in the NFL. But I mean, I know he's coming back next year. But I thought he played obviously really well, and he, you know, showcased some of his NFL skills that, you know, because he'll be coming back next year, Clemson will probably be number one and probably be favored from the beginning of the season. But anyways.
But yeah,
a lot going on in the sports world.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Speaking of, a lot of stuff going on, like you said, get off into this, if you want to, get off into this NFL coaching carousel that's going on right by now. Got, you know, Chip Kelly getting fired before the season. The San Francisco coach got fired after he was a one and done. If I'm not mistaken, Tennessee is now looking for a head coach. Giants looking for a head coach. Tampa. A lot of teams out here now looking for coaches. First of all, do you see Lovie Smith getting snatched up soon, or do you think he'll have to start over as a coordinator somewhere, or what?
I feel like he'll be employed next season. I don't think he's going to get a head coaching job. Well, you know what? I take that lie back. I wouldn't be shocked if he does get a head coaching job this year, but I don't think he will, for the simple fact that I think that, you know, him kind of being available kind of caught a lot of people by surprise, and I think that most teams probably already have, like, at least a halfway decent idea of who they want to hire. With some of these other coaches, especially guys that are going into their first job, like Adam, the offensive coordinator for the Bears, who got the Dolphins job, and even somebody who's going to their second job, like Hugh Jackson, the Bengals coordinator. I believe, if I read correctly, he is either interviewed with three teams or three teams want to interview him. I think it was the Giants, the Browns, and the other team doesn't register. But I think the important thing is try to make sure you take a quality job. You know, with a quality team. I mean, obviously most teams that are looking for new head coaches generally aren't teams that are playoff teams or teams that are really good. You know, most of them are bad teams.
Right.
But I think you have to make sure you take the job that puts yourself – where you're putting yourself in the best situation to be successful. For example, the 49ers. The 49ers were just good. You know, within, they've been to the playoffs in the last year. You got a good quarterback who, before, kind of like last year, maybe a little bit, this past season and the season before, you know, has shown some promise and showed that he could probably, you know, that he's a capable starter in the NFL. But, you know, I just think you have to be selective about the job you take and be willing to turn down a job and maybe be a coordinator and risk the opportunity of maybe never getting offered a head coaching job again in the future. You have to balance that with just taking over a team, knowing that, you know, if you're not successful within the first couple of years, you're probably going to get fired anyways. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that being said, I think of the jobs that are open right now, I would say the Giants probably. I don't like the Giants, obviously. I'm a Cowboys fan. But I would rank the Giants and the 49ers as probably the top two jobs out there. I don't like Eli, but Eli, you know, he's still an above-average quarterback. I mean, he throws too many interceptions, but that's neither here nor there right now. Same thing out of San Francisco. If you can figure out what went wrong with Colin Kaepernick, I think that's probably, you know, maybe the second-best job, because with the Giants, they also have Odell Beckham, who is, you know, arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL, and you know, will only be going into his third season next year.
One thing I don't want to venture
too far off the subject of the NFL, but I wanted to. I know we talked about this Sunday about some of the chippiness, if you will, between the Steelers and the Bengals. And of course, Burfict, however the hell you pronounce his name, got suspended for 3 games.
Next year.
Did you happen to read the letter that Peter King, who I believe, he got his own website, the Money Quarterback, and he also appears time to time on the Sunday Night NFL pregame and whenever the hell he comes on there. Do you happen to by chance read the open letter he wrote to players in the NFL?
No, I did not.
I didn't read the I don't remember every word he wrote.
Very interesting
letter, though.
Okay. What was he talking about? Like, just
He's basically, I would almost say, you know, trying to tell NFL players that they need to be careful how they're carrying themselves on the field because they're at risk of ruining the game and, you know, having the game having the game go away because of stuff like, I think, it was mostly a reaction to what happened in the Pittsburgh game. And I know, like, the interesting thing about this whole thing is that in that game, you know, they really focus on three people. What Vontaze Burfitt said, however you pronounce the name, what he did, what Pac-Man Jones did, obviously, Joey Porter, former NFL player, now coach, him being on the field, and within all of that, you know, that's kind of what the focus is on. You forget that earlier in the game, a Pittsburgh coach whose name I don't know that I ever heard was flagged 15 yards for basically, the way I looked at it, he was almost trying to push the Bengals player down. I mean, grab his head a little bit. I mean, you know, I think in the process of trying to grab him, the guy had dreads. I think in the process of trying to grab him, he grabbed his hair. But do you think that behavior like that is potentially going to be the ultimate demise of the NFL?
I guess, yeah, if not as far as the Pac-Man situation, I'd say it'll be more toward the situation of, I can't think of the dude now, he just said it, but the linebacker that hit Antonio Brown. Yeah, him. It'll be more of situations like that hit that he put on Antonio Brown, that'll do more damage to the NFL rather than Pac-Man getting into it with a coach or cussing at the coach or whatever, because only reason why we knew Pac-Man and Joey Porter was out there getting into it because Pac-Man arms were swinging. Otherwise, all you're going to do is see them moving their mouths and talking a lot. But parents, coaches, mentors, whatever, when they see people get hit like Antonio Brown got hit, that's the stuff that stick in their mind when they think about the youth and, I guess, the future of the sport. And, yeah, that would be more damaging than Pac-Man getting into it with Joey Porter.
I personally feel like that after reading the overwhelming majority of that article, I feel like he was reaching. I mean, you know, I think it was – I mean, you know, that's the best way I can describe it. You know, he was reaching. You know, if you just go back to how stuff like that has happened all the time. I mean, football has – always been a big macho tough sport. Now I agree with you, the hit from Burfitt and also the guy from the linebacker from Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah.
I think
yeah.
Those kind of plays will do something. But I don't, you know, the arguing and all that between Joey Porter and all the just kind of the general chippiness of the game, I don't think that's going to have an impact on the sport at all.
Nah,
and I say that because it's in every sport. There's not they fight in baseball, they fight in hockey. I mean, they don't really fight in the NBA, but you know, there's pushing and shoving, there's hard fouls from time to time.
Yeah,
yeah they yeah. have scuffles, you know. So I think he was reaching. You know, I mean, I know. Probably the two hits were probably the biggest thing that he may have been focusing on, but I mean, still, I think it's a stretch. I mean, to write an open letter, you know.
Yeah.
I think he plays too much. He was talking about the movie Concussion and with everything out there. And I don't think one hit is going to make or break the NFL. You know what I mean? I think that there's a segment of population out there that already has their mind made up on football. There is a dad, there is a mom, there is whoever is raising that boy or girl that's playing football. There's a segment out there that says my child's going to play regardless. I don't care. There's
a segment
that's never going to let their kids play. You know, it's that middle ground where, you know, I think the NFL's got to win. And I don't think the arguing and all that crap's going to hurt him. I think maybe some of the hits are, but, you know, whatever. Peter King, he was definitely reaching. I wish I had that Ed Lover. Come on, son. This is what you do. You know goddamn well your article is. You reaching like a motherfucker. You need to sit your fat ass down. Say, well, I like Peter King. I like his articles and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's an OG in the game.
I guess sticking with the NFL, man. I guess we can start previewing these divisional round games. On the NFC side, you got Carolina and Seattle, and Green Bay and Arizona. And the AFC, you got Pittsburgh and if I'm not mistaken, they go play Denver, and Kansas City plays New England.
I think Arizona is going to beat Green Bay. I'm not particularly concerned with that. I mean, you know, I think ever since Jordy Nelson has went down, I think it's been well documented the struggles, especially over the last 2 to 3 months. After they started 6-0, the Packers receiving corps kind of struggled. I mean, they did better this past Sunday or Saturday. Yeah, they played Sunday. But I think the Cardinals' defense and secondary is just too good. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball, you know, cause some problems, get the ball deep. I think Arizona is going to win that by 10-plus points. I'm having a hard time with the Carolina-Seattle game. Because Seattle, they remind me of that janky dude that you're playing basketball with that – he ain't athletic. He ain't fast. He ain't tall nobody. But damn, he just make. You know what I'm saying? You can't stop. You like, man, this one people be sorry because he's fat or he is. Well, he started making everything.
I think the lack of
Carolina having weapons scares me.
That's true. Yeah, Carolina really. Ugh. I mean, wouldn't you say they would be damn near the same team? Hey. Running in defense.
I think Seattle has probably a more well-known defense is the word I'm looking for. You know, they got Cam Chancellor who's been a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
They got three guys in the secondary who have been Pro Bowlers. Arguably, two guys who are all three of them may be the best at their position in the NFL. But conversely, like you said, Carolina's played great defense. I'm going to take Carolina. Cam Newton's been on the road this season. I'm going to go ahead on and take Carolina because I think of if Marshawn Lynch plays, it'll make a difference. But I think of all the available offensive players, wide receivers, I think Carolina has the one that's the best, which is Greg Olsen. So I'm going to take Carolina in that game. Who you got in there coming out of the NFC?
Coming out like as far as representing NFC in the Super Bowl?
Well, I should say winning these two games.
Oh, okay. Yeah, NFC, I got just the same two teams you got. I don't mean to jump on your bandwagon, but Carolina and Arizona. I guess I'm taking Arizona because Arizona was a team this year that kind of exposed Green Bay without Jordy Nelson, was the first team to really take advantage of that. They blanked Green Bay, like embarrassed them pretty much. I don't think it's going to be like that again, but I do think Arizona is the much better team at this point in time. Carolina, I'm taking Carolina in a really close game because, like I pointed out earlier, in my opinion, these two teams kind of play similar styles of football. And I guess right now, although Russell Wilson is hot, he's hot right now. Like I don't know where this arm, these 250, 300-yard passing games come from, but, hey, they're here now. But at the same time, Carolina's secondary is just like their secondary, almost second to none. So that's going to be a good one. But I got Carolina. I'm going to go and predict the score, 28-24 Carolina game, and 28-10 Arizona over Green Bay.
All right, just switch over to the AFC. Who you got in the AFC? I picked the NFC first. You picked the AFC first.
All right. So we got Pittsburgh and Denver. I'm going to take Denver in this one, mainly because of the defense, not because of Peyton. I think that Denver's defense is really good enough to lead them to a Super Bowl, and if they hand the ball off at least 25 to 30 times, Peyton can't lose the game for them. So, I got Denver winning in a pretty close one, 28-21. I got Denver winning. Big Ben probably throw a few touchdowns, but Pittsburgh got to find a running game without Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams. In the other game, New England and Kansas City, I'm rolling with the hot hand. I'm taking Kansas City in the upset. I feel like Kansas City right now is just balling out, man. They playing balls to the wild. Can't nobody do nothing with them. And that's all three phases of the game. So I pick Kansas City. And not as close of a game as people may think. So I'm going to go 27-17 Chiefs.
Huh. Yeah, mine, I think, pretty similar. I'm concerned about Pittsburgh's injuries. That is by far my biggest concern is the injuries that Pittsburgh has. I mean, I've stated my objection to Peyton Manning being a starting quarterback for the Broncos, and that clearly, you know, isn't going to change at all. So, gosh, this is a difficult one for me to pick. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to take Pittsburgh to win that game. In the other game, KFC versus the Patriots. I said KFC.
KFC
commercial was just on TV. Kansas City versus the Patriots. I'm with you. I'm going to take Kansas City in that game to win. I'm picking Kansas City. I'm just trying to go out on a limb here. I know Kansas City has been playing well this weekend. I'm concerned about their injury as well. I mean, I know in the past they haven't necessarily needed wide receivers in order to be successful, but Jeremy Maclin is probably not going to be 100%. He's had a really good season, though. And, you know, the Patriots are getting healthy. I think Amendola and what's the other cat's name? Julian Edelman. I think they're both supposed to play this week. But I think Kansas City defense is on a roll, and I think Kansas City is going to win it probably in a low-scoring game, relying on their defense. Maybe a turnover is going to be the difference in this game. So I'm going to go with Kansas City to win that game.
Okay, cool. And speaking of Kansas City, man, big shout out to I ain't gonna say unknown, but he don't get a lot of love. Dontari Poe, man, he killing stuff in the middle for Kansas City, and I think he's one of the reasons why their defense is bottoming out like they are. But yeah, I guess we got 5 minutes left. A little bit over 5 minutes left on the show. Got anything you want to get out your chest? For anything over the weekend that any bonus material you want to throw in there?
I'm going to win. The Heisman Trophy race next year is going to be a great one.
Heisman Trophy, huh? I only know about one maybe that could be it because I don't know who's all coming back. But I know about the Clemson quarterback. I know he has to come back because he's not eligible to go to the draft yet.
Leonard Fournette, Deshaun Watson, Christian McCaffrey.
Right? Oh, Christian McCaffrey, he's a sophomore?
Yeah, he's a sophomore.
Oh, okay. Well, he got to come back. Oh, yeah, you're right then. Eh? It's going to be a good one. She'll be a good race anyway. She'll be a good race. Anything NBA you got, I mean, because we got, go ahead.
No, NBA-wise. I was going to say, do you think that, I know we run out of time, Steph Curry has been struggling with the injury the last 2 weeks. Since around Christmas, he's been dealing with a shin injury. He missed a couple games, came back, hurt it. Do you think the Warriors should sit him? He's still been playing. Since he came back, he's kind of re-injured a little bit, but he's continued to play through it since he missed those 2 games. Do you think the Warriors should sit him and let him get completely healthy? They say it'll take about 4 weeks, or should they just continue to let him play through it?
Yeah, they should sit him, man. I mean, I guess if I was the coach and if I was over the personnel, yeah, I would sit him. Because if he's hurt, we are going to need him more down the stretch as far as the playoff and championship run, more than this 72-10 dream we're trying to chase. I would, if I'm the Golden State Warriors, yes, I would sit him down and let him get healthy. And we take our lumps while he on the bench, because it's not like your team is trash when he ain't in there. They ain't the same, but they not horrible. So sit him down, let him get his healing, and whatever lumps you take them. And when you get back, you just make your run for the championship. Maybe just 72-10 just ain't for you this year.
I would try to find a place to strategically sit him. You know, maybe if we go to a stretch where the team, you know, we're playing aren't of the highest caliber, you know, where I can get him.
Okay.
Try to get him at least 5 days, you know, one of those stretches where maybe, you know, you're playing against two of the not so good teams in the NBA and you got, like, you know, only 2 or 3 games in a 7 to 10 day window or 7 day window. Maybe you can get away with him sitting out for 5 days, 7 days, something like that. But I would try to get him a little bit of rest to see if you can get that injury healed up as much as possible. Because I don't know that the injury is serious enough from what I've heard for him to just sit out 4 straight weeks.
You know, I mean, like I said, I just would rather get him healthy than to try to push forward for a record that even if he is healthy, you're probably not going to get. Like, that's just hard to do, 72-10. So, I mean, I know they was on pace to crush it, but what you're on pace to do and what you end up with is always two different things. So, I just would, like I say, if it's strategically resting him or just resting him for 4 weeks, whatever it takes for him to get healthy for the championship run, that's what I would do. I wouldn't continue to play him, though, every day. I just wouldn't. That's really it, man. That's all I got for you today. You got any in the end of the episode shout-outs you want to do? We got, like, 30 seconds left. Oh, look like we lost LJ. Well, people, glad you check it out, listen to it, bonus episodes. Hopefully we come at you more than once a week, every week from now on. This has been Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ. And I would like to say thank you for listening. Keep listening. Continue to listen. And hopefully we can give you great content, sports content, all year long, and help us grow this show so we can give you more each week. It's Tweety. I guess I'll be signing off for LJ. I don't know if he'll be able to get back in time before the show go off. So I got my last minute. Like I say, go Cowboys, even though we had a bad season. Yes, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a Mavericks fan. The Mavericks looking good. NBA is about to heat up. You got All-Star weekend. You got March Madness coming up. So we're going to have a bunch of stuff to talk about. Have a bunch of stuff to talk about throughout the rest of the year. So I hope you guys continue to listen. Hope you guys continue to tune in. This has been Tweety. And for my last 30 seconds, I will say thank you to my co-host, LJ. And Happy New Year, because I ain't get to say it to everybody. And I hope everybody just enjoy the show. It's Talk That Talk, Tweety and LJ. We'll holler.